It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that MMA spot.
The Apostle Paul, his history was he persecuted the church.
Right.
And he went after people who said they believed in Jesus. He thought he was protecting, you know, the temple and the Jewish leadership. They believed in God and Adonai, and they thought that this new sect of believers who believed in Jesus was taking away from that. So in his mind, he thought he was doing good things. But he actively went after people and to abuse them, to persecute them, to put them in jail, to kill them. And later on in his letters to the church, when he after he converted, he said, one thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to put everything behind me. I'm going to push on to the prize. I'm moving forward. And I would often think, Amber, about what he would process mentally and emotionally. Because even though he converted and he said, I believe Jesus, his past history and his actions didn't go away.
Because he was killing people.
He was.
Can you imagine? Yeah, at the time he felt justified doing it. But sure. When you realize the truth, carry that guilt with you. I killed people. Carry that with you. That's terrible. You feel awful.
Yeah, it doesn't go away. You don't forget that you did it. You can't eliminate how it felt. And you're right. He processed that. So he was a human being. You know, he said, hey, I'm chief sinner. He's the first one to raise his hand and say, mm-hmm. least of the apostles, I'm the chief sinner. Because you knew where he was and where he came from, right? So he says, this is one thing I do is I forget those things that are behind. I leave them behind me and I move on. So just to the point of in our emotions, we nurse and we curse and we rehearse our problems. Everyone does that. How do we get free from it? We need to leave that behind and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the other thing that I think that we control is our actions, right? I mean, really? We control our actions. No, the first, you make me so,
oh, yeah.
And then drop the word, make right. me angry. Why do you make me do this and stuff? Okay, well, first of all, no one makes us do anything. We choose to do that. That's our action that we need to be responsible for, right? As parents, one thing I try to do as a dad is eliminate from my language when I get frustrated with what's going on with my children is, why do you do that? You make me so mad. See, that's a rejection. We talked about rejection one time. That's a rejection dump on the kids. Because now what you're doing is you're telling your child, you're responsible for how I feel, which is a lie. You know, well, I'm responsible for how I feel. No one makes me feel anyway. I choose to feel that way. Okay? No one makes me, you know, do whatever action I do. I'm the one that's responsible for how I act, how I behave. You've seen people make excuses for that, right,
yep.
Amber?
Yep.
How does that, what does that do to you when you see other people making excuses for their behavior?
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
It is. It is.
You know, whatever triggers my behavior has to be what I'm responsible for. And I need to be aware of, hey, I'm about ready to tee off on someone.
That's right.
I need to get my anger under control.
That's right.
You know, I'm about ready to do whatever I do, and that's my choice.
And, you know, we all have ways that we can deal with that. Mm-hmm. But we have to choose to do it in a positive manner. And a lot of people say exercise is the best way to yeah. deal with all that, because then you get good endorphins going. And then we're taking deep breaths or going for a walk or just saying, I need some alone time.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of good techniques that we do need to implement. And I support all those things. But we've got to get to the baseline first of
that's right.
accepting, okay, I control this. You know, if someone said, well, I have to work out because or exercise or I need to do whatever I need to do because they make me so mad and I just
no.
can't handle that.
Mm-mm.
No, stop. Hold on. Because then what we do is we begin to depend on the technique as the solution. And it's not. It's our mindset and our thinking first and being responsible. That's baseline. Okay, now how can I make sure I you know, support that and really solidify that? Techniques help. Breathing exercises. Taking a walk. Exercising, reading a book, whatever it is for that person. But I have to be responsible first. So I control how I act and behave, okay? And then the fourth one is decisions. I decide what I'm going to do. No one puts a gun to my head and tells me what I'm going to decide or not decide. That's on me 100%. God gave me that gift.
Mm-hmm.
What are you gonna decide to do? And that decision is reflected in the other three.
Right.
What I think, how I feel, and how I behave. Those are all predicated on the decisions I make.
And those decisions can affect people positive or negatively.
Well, my decisions, yeah, they definitely have have a wake. They leave, you know, the influence.
That's right.
Okay, my decisions will influence people around me. So in where I want to draw a line where I'm not going to sit and worry about, oh my gosh, if I do this, how's that going to make, you know, my Aunt Gertrude feel, or is it going to make my dad mad? I don't want to live in that, but I want to be aware of it.
That's right.
You know, I don't want to live on that performance trip to make everyone happy with my choices.
Right.
At the same time, I want to be aware, how are my decisions and my actions going to be influencing other people? You know, I choose to be committed to the things that I want to be committed to. I choose to go where I want to go. No one else is going to make me do that. So that's what I control, those four things. The way I say it is this: I control inwardly, but I influence outwardly. I can only control me, Amber, and what's going on inside of me. But I definitely do influence those around me. So back to what we were talking about earlier when I said, look, it's people listening to this go, no, I can very much control outcomes.
Right.
Okay. Well, I would say it this way. You can influence and manipulate.
Right.
Maybe you get that outcome. Maybe you don't. You have a chance of. Okay. But the truth of the matter is we are all very influential, and we need to be aware of the influence that we carry. And if we're going to influence, we want to influence to the best and to the most positive result, right? But we can't control that outcome. What we got to do is master ourselves and control us. And that is enough, I think, to deal with through a lifetime, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You think that's enough for you to deal with if your marriage and being a mom is to, instead of focusing...
Control myself? Yeah, I have enough to control with just myself. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm enough on my own. And you're right, I can't control my daughter. I can't control what she does. I can influence her, and I can try and raise her the way I'd like her to be, but at the end of the day, she has to make the decision. Is she going to listen to her mom and dad, or is she going to do what she wants to do? And you know what? We have that same relationship with God. I mean, God gives us parameters. He's like, this is how I'd love you to live, and I want you to live this way because you're going to be safer, you're going to have less pain in your life, you're going to be more productive. But you have that choice. If you don't want to live this way, then you can live outside of my guidelines and deal with the consequences. So it's the same kind of decision we have with our children as we have with God. And we are the ones that control that.
And let me ask you this. Do you really want to control your daughter?
No.
I mean, maybe momentarily.
Sometimes. In circumstances, sure.
Yeah, but ultimately, do you want your daughter growing up and having the experience and going off in life where her mom controls her?
No.
No. And then let me ask you this, and I'm going to assume the answer is no, but do you want Phil to control you?
No, absolutely not.
Do you want your
not.
Parents controlling you? No.
Nobody wants that.
No one wants it. I don't want to live in that.
All I want my daughter to do is grow up the right way. And the thing that... when parents want to control their kid is when their kid, even if they're the good parents and they raise their children up the best they can and their children go astray and you know the thing that's going to hurt them, all you want to do is be able to control them and say, no, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to get involved with these. And you want to so bad, but it's not in your control to do that. All you can do is try and be that good influence, like you said, and pray. Yeah. And I want to encourage people and understand people that God is the same way about us. People, God doesn't want people to hurt us, but people might hurt us down the road. People might do it in a severe manner. Some people might just do it in a minor manner where we talked about rejection or we get hurt. People lie about us. It's not stuff God wants from us, but God lets people do what they're going to do, and they have consequences for it, good and bad. Absolutely. It's the same concept we're talking about right now. So when people say, why did God, if God's so great, if God's so wonderful, why did he let this happen? Why did I get this? Or why did that happen to so-and-so? He didn't want that for anybody. But it's this decision-making process that he allowed because, you know what? He didn't want to control us because he wanted genuine love from us. He could have made us all love him and be this robot, but that's not the case at all. I'm kind of drifting off course, but
I think you're really right on with the idea of control. You know, it's because as a parent, ultimately, sure, I want my child to adopt my values and what I think is best for them. I want that, but more than that, I want them to be confident in who they are as a person, right? And they're going to have to go through things in life where they mess up. My kids are going to have to screw up. If they don't mess it up, how are they going to grow?
Mm-hmm.
How will they be able to make the best choices for themselves until they know that when I did this and that was dumb? So now mm-hmm. I learn from that. And if, as a parent, I'm constantly trying to control them to make sure or control their situation or circumstances, they'll never, I cut them off emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll never grow and they'll never mature. They'll never know what it's like to deal with failure.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if you don't know what it's like to deal with failure, you're never going to really understand success.
Right.
Right. And parents impede that so much from their own children. I'll say this too, though. From a human standpoint, the reason that parents are always trying to control kids is because they feel out of control themselves. So since they're insecure and they're feeling out of control, the way they try to control that is to control children, right? God doesn't try to control us.
No.
Because God's not out of control or feeling insecure.
That's right.
God's very confident in who he is. He's the king of the universe. He's got it under control, right? So he's going to allow us to make those choices, right? Because he's not out of control. He knows how this whole thing is. Humans, we are out of control, and we feel vulnerable, and we have fear, and we have worry. And when parents put that onto their children, they're trying to control, you know. And unfortunately, Amber, it's guised in, well, I'm just a loving parent who loves my kids. It's normal. Yes and no. You know, I mean, look, I love my kids too. I don't want anything bad to happen to my children.
Right.
And I just know what it does to them mentally and emotionally when it's always the worry and the fear and the guilt and, oh, you're killing me. Why would you do that to your father? Don't you know I love you? No, stop doing
exactly.
that to your kids.
Exactly.
Man. I'm just a worried mother and I don't want you to get her. Let's stop that with your kids, because now your kids are, oh, mom's worried. I'm worried about my mom worrying, and it just goes on. It never ends, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's the influence we have with our children. You know, we could get, see, now I'm going to start talking about kids on, you know, ways you can help your kids make better decisions. But help your children understand this, right? When your children are fighting, arguing amongst themselves, well, my brother or sister, why do they do that? And that makes me mad. Okay, great. Let's stop and talk about that. Whose choice is that? You know, I discipline my children and I frame it this way. It's your choice mm-hmm. to, you know, lose the privilege or
that's right.
to get a spanking or to get swats or whatever it is, or to lose the privilege of going outside to play, or whether it was your choice. How was it my choice, mom and dad? You took it away from me.
Well, you chose the wrong path.
There you go. You had it.
You could do this. You could do that. Yeah.
It's your choice. So helping children at a very young age realize.
That's bravo.
The choices they make have consequences.
Yeah.
Right?
You have to.
I love you regardless of your choice. That's what God tells us. See, God says, I love you regardless of your choice. My love doesn't change because of your choice. Your consequences change because of your choice. You have positive consequences or negative consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife and I, when I came to this understanding, these four things I control, it just kind of, I was like, I don't know. This is what, for me, it came to a realization. Maybe a lot of your listeners go, yeah, I already know that. So, you know, but it's kind of gelled in my mind, these four things. Then we just wanted to teach our children that too.
Yeah, well, this also goes to, I know women like to control the men. Mm-hmm. It's a struggle, and I think it became from the curse when Adam and Eve sinned against God, and, you know, there was consequences for that, and, you know, I think it started back then, and women want to control things. I really think so, and When a woman gets in and tries to control everything about her husband, it really messes up the grand design of a family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it does, absolutely. And it just, on an emotional end, it just emasculates a man. But I'm just going to throw this, a thought pops in my mind. I'll throw this out at you, kind of off topic. When men marry highly controlling women, that kind of feeds their deal anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was kind of a little off topic there, but you said, you're right. When women are trying to control men, it's an unhealthy thing. Mm-hmm. At the same time, men who marry highly controlling women, that's kind of their process. Maybe they had a parent who was highly controlling, and so that's what they know to do, is to be around intimate relationships with people who are controlling.
Because
it helps make decisions for them, so they don't have to make that decision.
Interesting.
But that's a whole other thing
we
can talk about later, but... So I just want to encourage your listeners to focus on the things of control, which is all inward. You know, And we really don't ever want to be controlled by anyone.
No.
The truth is, we don't want to control other people, because that's an exercise that really drains you. You know, there's only so much you can control. And those who really understand their relationship with God, there's a humility level that comes up. They really understand it. There is a humility that they don't want to control things. And that's modeled again in Jesus, because he could have controlled. Well, he does control.
Yeah.
So, and when he was there, you know, he told, you know, the high priest, hey, I'm going to tear the temple down in 3 days.
Right.
And build it up on the third day. And it's like, what? He controlled everything. He was never out of control. But what he chose to do was be humble. And
that's right. I mean, they were talking to God himself, and God could have smited them in 1 second. God could have put a disease on them. God could have done anything. Jesus could have done anything at that moment, but he chose to be humble, like you said.
He's in control. He's controlling himself. He's the only guy that could control the circumstance.
Right.
The outcome, you know, but even he chose not to. So if someone understands the reality of their relationship with God, they understand the power of the humility, and they're not going to want to control other people. They're going to focus on their thinking, their emotions, their actions, and the decisions they're making.
And don't you think that's a lot to deal with?
I think it's plenty.
Yeah.
That's enough to say grace over in a lifetime.
That's right.
Okay? Because you can't control others anyway. You can only control you. So focus on that. Master you.
Be the better version of you.
Once you get you mastered, then you can start trying to master others. Okay.
There you go.
Which will never happen. So yeah, there you are.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Kevin, for coming on and talking to us about this. I appreciate it. For those of you who want to get a hold of me, you can go to my website, theambermayshow.com, theambermayshow.com, or you can write me at P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona, 85385. And remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.